Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we will be presenting two great guests. First of all, Tom Dowd will be talking about his great new book, The Time Management Manifesto. Tom has been on the show before, and he is from Tom Dowd Professional Development and Coaching, LLC. Then we're going to be talking to Susan Dench, and she's going to be talking about her new book, Connect Working, The Savvy Women's Guide to Turning Small Business into Big Business. So let's start with Tom. Tom has been a frequent guest here on the HR Power Hour, but we have him back because he has a new book. That's right, a new book called Time Management Manifesto. That's right, Tom has got another book, and we know it's going to be great because I know that Tom's last book was great. Tom, welcome to the show.
Dave, thank you. I appreciate that's an endorsement.
Well, you know, it was. It was really good because I was in the preview of the last book, but that's okay. I'm not hurt that I'm not in the preview of this book. It's okay. So I'm just giving you a hard time. You know how that is. So how have you been? You know, you're back with this new job you've had now for about a year, correct?
Yeah, it's been great. The last book, Displacement Day, when my job was looking for a job, really paid off. I've been with an organization in Maine for well over a year. Full-time job. I love it. I love my boss, love what they do for customers, love what they do for their employees, and when you hook up with the right company that not only encourage people personal and professional development, you know, like you really got to appreciate an organization like that, which led me to this last book, Time Management Manifesto. They've obviously not giving me the time to write it, but you know, they gave me the encouragement and support to say whatever you learn as you're developing on the outside is going to help you on the inside. So I wrote it in the mornings and weekends and wrote it at night when my children were doing their homework. I was doing mine.
No, that's great. And this is really about expert strategies to create an effective work-life balance. I know there are a lot of people listening to this show today that say, work-life balance, wouldn't that be nice? What do you say about is it about the person's individual choices? Is it about what they do? Tell me a little about what made you think about writing this book.
Well, it starts by being anal retentive, but it really doesn't end there. And you know, I grew up as a fairly decent with my time management. But I was having a roller coaster ride professionally. If you remember from our very first conversation together, the first book, The Transformation of a Doubting Thomas, you know, talks about my roller coaster ride professionally. And I had personal issues in trying to figure out who I wanted to be within the organization. But there's one thing I always said is, you know, when I wasn't getting promoted, I would always say, no one will ever blame me or say I'm not getting the job done. So I always concentrated on getting the job done. So I actually focused most of my prioritization on getting the work done. What I didn't do, and this is what I found out later in life, is how powerful people are in time management. And they are the priority in everything. If you have your inbox and you die, it's not going to go away.
You're right.
It's not going to be, the things aren't going to get done. And that's what I had a tendency to not remember as I was doing this. And then you start figuring out, as you build these relationships, you start delegating. You start setting expectations for each other. Even the simplest you talked about, is it an individual choice? It absolutely is. You just have to understand the ramifications of ignoring that email or ramifications of taking one priority over another. You know, it all comes down to, you know, a lot of it is communication. Are you having the right conversations with your boss? Are you setting the right expectations? There was this woman, she and I we were never on the same page when it came to project management. And I realized it's because I would send a note to her through email and never hear anything back from her. And it would go back and forth, and I would get frustrated. I'm duplicating my efforts. I'm trying to get a hold of her throughout the day. And then I sent her one instant message. And she said, yeah, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
And I realized you have to work within the parameters of the people you're dealing with and say, hey, how do you prefer to be communicated with? And that simple question saved time, and we became extremely very efficient time management partners together.
You know, that's so true. And, you know, this even goes back to career searching. You know, we have been saying for years, you have to communicate or network with people on their turf. So if they are cell phone users, texters, IMers, Facebookers, LinkedIners, you have to be there and figure that out. What is the best way? Ask the question. When you're networking with someone and they're referring you to somebody else, you simply ask, hey, how's the best way to connect with them? And they will usually tell you. It's not what you think. It's not email all the time. It's not phone call, but it might be. You just never know what that is. So you're absolutely correct on time management is effective across the board, no matter what you're doing. Figuring out the best way to communicate will save time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you say here, manage your time, don't let your time manage you. What do you mean by that?
We are a reactive world these days. We sit around with a catcher's mitt waiting for the next email to come in so we can react to it. And therefore, we are a slave to our email. Our power went out this past weekend because of the snowstorm. And to watch my three teenage daughters as they're trying to figure out, we lost our internet for 3 days.
That's like the worst thing ever. Ever, Dad. Come
and
on.
So all of a sudden, you can't text your friends. You can't email. And you don't realize how much control we allow to leave from us. We have control of our calendars. We have control of our time. We have control what time we go to sleep, what time we wake up. But we blame the boss. You know, we say the boss is throwing too much work our way. We're juggling too many things, too many balls in the air, dot, dot, dot. But in reality, when we talk about what we have control over, is you can control having a good night's sleep most of the time. And if you get enough rest, you're going to hit the day all charged up, ready to go. You're going to have more energy to get more done. You know, there is there's a saying that says, schedule your lunch. You know, we have this mentality of, no, I have to work through my lunch or someone else is going to get the credit for the work that I'm doing. And, you know, I can't leave my desk. Sure you can. Although my boss, I hope he's not listening, I don't work more than 40 hours a week most of the time. But I bet I get more than what a lot of people do in 50 or 60 or 70 hours. And it's about commitment. It's about routine. If you set up the right routines, if you block the things that are taking your time, block off and account for them. You know, fire drills, for example. You know, the term fire drills meaning you have to do something in the day that you did not originally schedule it for.
Oh, come on. That never happens, Tom.
No, never. Fire drill, I don't even know what that means. But there are ways to account for that, and so I have some solutions. And an example would be, let's say you and I have a business meeting together, and we feel our typical meetings take about a half hour. I'm going to schedule it for an hour. I'm going to double every time I have something I want to put on my calendar. If I don't know exactly how long it's going to take, I'm going to build it double the time. So therefore, it's an hour. We go over that half hour. It turns into a 45-minute meeting, which happens more often than not. I actually bought 15 minutes of time by ending the meeting early, 15 minutes, even though in reality we went over by 15. And that extra 15 minutes of time is precious. And I use that time now to pull in extra work. And when we talk about control what you can control, and we have control of our time, we're really talking about, I call it the push and the pull. We put together this laundry list of things that have to be done today, whether it's real on a written checklist or virtual on a calendar. We say we have to get all this stuff done. And then when we don't get those things done today, what do? We push it for tomorrow. And we keep pushing and pushing. Well, it actually takes time to push. Instead, I say pull in time. And I sat with this individual. I took over a new position many, many years ago. And I sat down with this guy and I said, okay, tell me everything you do in your day and you consider yourself successful. And he hands me a very short list. And he said, Tom, you need to do the least amount of work in the day and still consider yourself successful. That's what it's all about. And so I was expecting this huge, long laundry list, but in reality, he said, if you do these small things every single day, your day will take care of itself. And it was that aha moment for me of manage using the strategic approach. I have the least amount of work. If fire drills come in, I can't leave until this small list gets done. I walk out smiling, saying, I've got the mandatory things done. Everything else can wait. And so now I pull things in. So now I go through my list. I get things done. I say, okay, now I have an extra 15 minutes or a half hour or an hour. I'm going to pull things in that I have scheduled later in the day, later in the week, later in the month. And so now it becomes a pull. And it's now strategically more efficient for me because there are things that if they're not getting done, they can still wait. And I think that's important about managing your time. Don't let it manage you. You have control of bringing these things in.
We're talking with Tom Dowd. He is the author of the new book, Time Management Manifesto, Expert Strategies to Create an Effective Work-Life Balance. Tom, one of the things that I know about you, and you've certainly mentioned it before, is the fact that you don't wear a watch. All right, and I went through a phase where I didn't wear a watch either. I'm back to wearing a watches, but that's okay. Why don't you? And so if you can't watch the time, and people would say, well, that seems counterintuitive. Is he using his cell phone? How do you make that happen? How do you manage that time?
I stopped wearing watches because they got uncomfortable. That's reality. But I'm looking at a computer screen right now that has a time in the right-hand corner. I have a clock up on the wall. I have there's a BlackBerry or an iPhone, and we are surrounded by time. So it is very rare that I'm in a position where I don't know what time of day it is. But time isn't the clock or the watch. Time is concept. Time is about commitment, it's about routines, and it's about balances. So I use my calendar, and I think in terms of not hands on the watch, I think in terms of blocks of time. So there are blocks of time every single day, and this is the power of routines. Every single day at 7 o'clock, there's an appointment that's been popping up on my calendar for 15 years, and it says, read a passage from the book Don't Sweat the Small Stuff by Dr. Richard Carlson. I've been reading the book. It's torn apart because I've read it so many times, and it pops up every single day. And I know it's coming. It's popped up for 15 years, but it's the power of routines. And so I block off these times to go through my email. I don't stare at my email all day waiting for something to come in. I have blocks of time throughout the day that I can do it. And so these blocks of times are now, they account for the amount of time. They may not account for the exact time. So every day I might, from 8 to 9, like to go through my emails, but periodically someone will throw an 8 o'clock meeting on my calendar. Not a big deal. I'll just push that to some other time during the day. So I manage my time in blocks. And the things that have to get done, whether it's going through emails, whether it's going through phone calls, these blocks of time account for the part of the day, and it's not about staring at my watch. You also get reminders. So if you use programs like Microsoft Outlook, for example, you're going to get these reminders. I make it a point to ensure that these reminders pop up, that I'm not sitting there staring at a watch. We overthink our time. We think in our minds multitasking of what I'm doing right now. I'm also thinking about what I have to do next. Well, I don't. I don't think about what I have to do next. If I'm holding a written calendar, I have it circled and I know what's coming up. If I'm on an online calendar, I know I'm going to either get a visual cue or a beeping cue, depending on what tool I'm using at the time. So you don't really have to think about it. And by eliminating thinking, and it sounds crazy, but by eliminating thinking, I'm actually improving my time management. I'm reducing my need to multitask, and I'm truly laser focused on what needs to get done. So when I have 30 minutes to get something done, I'm doing 30 minutes of work. I'm not doing 15 minutes of work and then 15 minutes of multitasking and thinking of something else that's out there.
You know, Tom, you bring up a good point. I think one of the things that people would say, and this is just something I've certainly heard and certainly struggled with at times, is that, yes, you can plan things out. Yes, you can put them on the calendar. Yes, you have the fire drills that happen. But the biggest problem is distractions. Things like people walking by to your desk. Things like, you know, the phone call that rings that is urgent that must be taken. And they just continue to mess up the plan, if you want to say, the plan for the day. That plan that you had so articulately put out, all the little moments. I'll tell a true story. I remember I had this all planned out, a great day planned. I built in a little extra time, but I didn't anticipate not only a fire drill, but I thought the entire building on fire. Pretty much all hell broke loose, right? All the calls came in, emails are flooded, all these things had to be done, and I literally blew up the plan. And at the end of the day, I had like 9 messages saying, hey, you need to still do this. How do you make that work? How do you manage the distraction part?
Delicately. You say the phone rings. I answered the call from my wife the other day.
Congratulations, you're still married, clearly. Good job.
And I said, and it's interesting because I've always had a phone that you can see the display who's calling. And in my new role, my phone doesn't have a display on it, so I never know who's calling. So I was waiting for a different call. And my wife calls, and I said, sorry, honey, I've got to go. And she said, then don't answer your phone. And it's a good indication of if you don't have to do something, you can say no. You don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to look at your email every single time. And this comes back to communication. You know, if people know you well enough and you're building the right relationships with your business partners, with your colleagues, with your boss, you're going to say, I say to them when I'm working with the new business partners from this year, I said to them, I will never send you an email that says urgent. I will never say you have to do something now with it. And if I do, I'm going to pick up the phone and let you know it's sitting in your email, or I'm going to send you an instant message. I'm going to delicately let you know that there is a fire drill going on. So I have to practice what I preach in leading this effort. Now, if you're a recipient of this, we already talked about doubling your time. So if you typically spend an hour on email every day, you should block off 2 hours of time somewhere on your calendar, and then you can buy some time back if you need to. The disruptors, you know, are you accounting for the water cooler conversations? Are you accounting for the hallway conversations? And I work in an office by myself. I work virtually, and so I speak to people all day on the phone. So I rarely have that hallway conversation. And I go down to the office with all of my peers every couple of weeks, and I have to account for extra time on those days. I was down there yesterday, and I was chatting with someone about something that was business-related. It wasn't on my calendar, but yet it took 15, 20 minutes of going through something we were working on together. That's 20 minutes that was not part of my calendar, and it's probably a conversation we wouldn't have had if I hadn't been in the office. So there was value to the conversation,
sure,
but I didn't account for it. But because I had doubled the time on some other things, I was able to adjust. And flexibility is an extremely important part of your day. If you schedule 8 hours in your day, and every single one of those minutes of those 8 hours is accounted for, I give very few promises. I promise you will not get everything done that you had scheduled in those 8 hours.
Not going to happen.
It's not. So schedule 6 hours worth of your day and leave some extra time to account for these. And if you don't have any fire drills, congratulations, and start pulling in the extra work. You will be productive, I promise. But there's an interesting thing about the interruptions. And I saw or heard this statistic so many years ago, so I can't give it the appropriate credit that it deserves. But I heard that it takes 7 times longer to do something or get back to that original thought if you're interrupted. So if I'm concentrating on a project and the phone rings and I answer the phone and it's a wrong number, I say wrong number, or it's a political call.
Oh,
all
God,
those calls we were getting all week. you get the call and you say, gee, sorry, and you put it back and you go back to focus on where you were, it's going to take you a long time to come back to that original thought. That's wasted time.
No, it absolutely is. And we're talking with Tom Dowd. He's the author of the new book, The Time Management Manifesto. Where can people find your book?
They can find it on Amazon.com. It's in e-form and in book form. And they can also find it on TransformationTom.com.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And I do encourage people to go there. Tom is a great guy. I know him personally. We've known each other for quite a while. And you always write great books that are very helpful to individuals. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. So let's talk about, this has been a question that always comes up when it comes to time management. Are checklists really a good or bad thing?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it is a matter of style and preference. And there is no right or wrong answer, but if you use them effectively, they can be good. You know, I actually use a blend of a written calendar for the things that have to be done today with an Outlook calendar along with my smartphone. And you can do all of the above, and you just have to get used to what you're using in front of you. And they're good for routines. So when I pack for a trip, for example, I have a checklist. And I have a summer checklist. You know, make sure you have the sunglasses and flip-flops. I have my winter checklist, bring my hat and gloves. And I have my business checklist, is make sure you pack the tie, because there was one time when I didn't. So and what happens is it becomes this mundane routine. So use checklists for that to ensure that you're covering all the small details. You don't want to recreate the basics that are out there or forget those little things. You know, you go to the grocery store, you want a list to go in, it's going to save you time. It's actually going to save you money as well. And when you use these types of checklists, where checklists turn into a bad thing is when they become this accomplishments list, because we tend to gravitate to the easiest things. We look at the hard things and we say, I just don't have time for that. And so what we do is we check off these little things that aren't really or necessarily productive.
Yeah, it's that endorphin rush, right? That very excited,
yeah, exactly.
Woo, we got something to check off. Woo-hoo.
I checked these things off, but if you were really truly challenging yourself, and this is what I would ask anyone to do, is truly challenge yourself, looking at your to-do checklist over the last several days and ask, are they really productive? Or are you spending time moving things day to day to day? If that's the case, you really want to revisit pushing the tasks and really figuring out, is there a way to stop pushing and start to pull?
You know, the only other part to this that I want to just add before we go to the next question is, really, there are so many places now that you can get checklists and reminders, phone, email, you know, whatever it is that you use. How do you manage all that?
You get used to it. There is a calendar. I have a separate calendar for speaking engagements, for coaching sessions, for radio interviews. And I blend that together with the work and the life. And you have to be able to blend those together. If you don't, you're really living separate lives. And what happens is you're running parallel to that. And you have to find a way to intersect them. You know, it's interesting on how I look at managing work-life balance. When I was looking for a title of the book, people were actually saying, do you want to call it work-life or do you want to call it life-work? And I thought it was a really interesting pondering question, because many people, including myself, would have very strong calendar habits at work. But I would not, I almost forget about the home piece. I'd come home, my wife gives me a honey to-do list, which she doesn't do that often, but when she does...
You said that for self-preservation. Come on, let's
did,
be honest.
She's listening.
Yeah.
But I had this work-life separation between my calendars, and my home one was much weaker. So to answer your question is, you have to find what's comfortable for you. You can't forget about one or the other, but you learn that if you assess yourself, you really start to figure out what works best for you. I don't use my smartphone calendar often. In fact, one of the things that I'll do is I bring up my Outlook calendar every single day, and I print it, because there are going to be times where I will be walking away from my office and not be in front of my laptop, And I just need to know what's in front of me at all times. So I balance those together, and it works for me. And it's tough to tell someone. You have to figure out what you're comfortable with. But go ahead and what you want to assess is what's worked for you.
Right.
And then keep doing those, and you really have to assess what hasn't worked for you. And then you figure out you need to stop doing that.
Well, you know, talk about work-life balance. How do you really balance work and family?
my wife gives me the honey-do list, and I really was weaker on my home one. Like, she'll say, hey, I asked you to do this. Have you done it yet? And I'll say, oh, no, I haven't, because I didn't throw it on my calendar, because I had this mentality of go home, relax, I'm not working, and I really had complete separation between the two. I found out I had to blend them together. And so you start thinking, you have kids' sports games, you have music recitals you want to go to, you have school events, and I would never miss those. The point wasn't I wasn't missing them. The point was they popped up to me and they surprised me. That's where time management goes awry.
You're right. That's the key. No, there's no question. That is
when
true.
When things become unexpected,
right.
And people a lot of times are afraid to blend the two. We need to understand that you can't have an effective life balance until we commit to do both simultaneously. You know, I give higher priority now to the life events and my appointments, but I blend both of those together. And when we do that effectively, we can plan better. We can work around those unexpected things that come in. We can actually work around the things that have come in. If somebody gives you something to do, whether it's your spouse or whether it's the boss, you have the right and probably obligation to ask, how important is it? How urgent is it? If I choose not to do this by the given time frame, what are the ramifications? If someone says, you're fired, guess what? I'm working late that night.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
But if I say, hey, what happens if I don't do this? They say, well, get it to me when you can. Great. You'll get it within the next 48
absolutely.
Hours. You know, we're in good shape. It still comes down to relationship building the trust and communication.
We're talking with Thomas Dowd, and we're talking about his new book, Time Management Manifesto. You know, Tom, as we wrap up here in the last minute and a half, what are some of the principles of time management that you want to leave the audience with today?
I'll start with stop looking for the secrets of time management. They're not there. The secrets are commitment, committing to the time that you said you were going to do something, routines. So you build these habits, and you have a balance between work and life, and you understand the two. We've talked about smartphones today. Technology is not going to save you. Technology is a tool. It is only a gadget. It is not time management, and it's not the solution. Your commitments and routines and balance are your solutions. We want to separate as much as we want to separate personal and professional lives. You can't. They're intertwined. And when you understand that, you start embracing it. The people often struggle with time management because we overcomplicate it. And as I've taught time management over the last 15 years or so, I've really taken the approach of oversimplify it. You know, get to the point where you're simplifying it, not overcomplicating, and ask for help. Don't make it be too late for you to go to your boss and say, I didn't get this project done by the deadline. Talk to them ahead of time. Make sure they understand that what is on your plate, and prioritize together. You build respect that way. You build trust that way, and you're not going to be buried because of it. You know, people, when they do ask for help, unfortunately ask too late. Stay ahead of the game. Let people know exactly what's out there, and you'll all get through it together.
No, that's great advice. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And everybody should go right now to Amazon.com, look under Time Management Manifesto. Tom Dowd, that's D-O-W-D, make it happen. Buy that book. Tom, have a great day.
Dave, thank you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.